Good evening.
Parsha Shlach, very difficult parsha, and it's the beginning of the unravel. Last week it was the beginning of the unraveling of Klal Yisrael. But Moshe Rabbeinu gets involved in this way, and his input is we see a change in Moshe Rabbeinu from this week and next week, and then the week after, even though the week after is already many years later. But nevertheless, he really changes his mode of operation. We'll see that next week as well. And that is all down to the way I look at it. Last week, as I said, the ultimate pep talk, God gave Moshe Rabbeinu this pep talk. And he said, "Behold, beisin emonhu," that whatever Moshe does, I can trust him. He is my spokesperson. When I tell him something what to do, it'll get done exactly the way I say it. He understands me perfectly. And what we get this week is God and Moshe are on the same page about one thing. We ask the question so many times when God says to Moshe, Shlach lecha anoshim v'yosuru aseretz Kenan, we blame the meraglim and it caused all the problems. But what was the reason that it doesn't say any place that the meraglim or that the Bnei Yisrael asked to send people to go visit, the land of Israel? It doesn't ever say that. It just somehow begins the parasha with saying that God told Moshe to send people. So what is the problem then? And what one of the Mefarshim wanted to point out is something very interesting, that God understood Moshe Rabbeinu's request, that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to live vicariously through the eyes of other people by sending them, at least get a sense. He's already 81 going on 82, and he wants to get a piece of Eretz Israel to hear some good news. When we hear somebody come back from Israel, I remember years ago when at first, you know, people started going in the 60s or even in the 50s, obviously, but people started to go, and every time somebody came back, they would ask him to speak on Shabbos and say, what did he see there, and tell us something nice about the land of Israel. And now the story begins again. God understands Moshe Rabbeinu's request personally between him. He knows what's going on in Moshe's mind, and he wants to hear something about Eretz Israel because he can't exactly leave the people for a week and go on a self-guided tour on his own. He has to stay with Klal Yisrael. So God says, you know what? You could live through them. They'll come back and they will tell you all the things you wanted to hear, and you could live by them. And therefore, Moshe goes ahead and gives instructions. But unfortunately, Moshe's instructions are a little ambiguous. And what I mean by that is Vayishlach osa Moshe lo suris eretz Kanaan. Moshe is his intention was, and God's intention was, just to take a tour. When we go to places, we go out west, or we go to Europe, or we go to Israel, we go basically to tour, not to see if the country, when we go to Israel today, we're not looking to see how fortified the cities are. We're not going as spies. We're going on a tour. We're going to check the place out. We'd like to see some nice sights and bring back, you know, a piece of the land, bring back some fruit and show this is the wonderful fruit that grows in Israel. These are a little bit about the people. And unfortunately, Moshe says one thing that gives them a little bit of an inkling of something different. He says, that's on a normal way to look at it, but are there a lot of people? It gives them the impression that they're going to have to search over the land to see if it's penetrable or impenetrable somehow, that they feel that they have to fight. And of course, Moshe has nothing of that sort on the mind. But when we get to the next part of it, and it says that they chose these 12 people, and it says, Kulam Anoshim Roshei B'nei Yisrael Hema, and then it says, V'yela Shemosam. But very interesting, in last week's Parsha, or in Parsha's Naso, when they brought the Karbonos, there were various others in the Nesiim, and you had then each shevet had its own nasi, and none of those nasiim that we learned early on were these people that were going into the land of Israel. So what is happening over here? Well, the simple explanation, of course, is they were elders, and they were not physically fit. Perhaps they were too old, and they were not going to go into the land of Israel in terms of being taking on an arduous 40-day trip, and therefore they weren't up to it. So they were looking for alternatives for younger people, for wannabes, people who are what we might call today rising stars. And they were chosen. I entitled the shiur tonight, you know, we have our, everybody, if they're lucky, has their 15 minutes of fame. The problem becomes is, what do we do with that 15 minutes of fame? Do we strike while the iron is hot? In other words, do we use those 15 minutes when the opportunity arises? Do we open up that door, or do we slam it shut and forget about it and make the wrong move? And what I mean by that is very simply, when the Bnei Yisrael came to the Yam Suf, we are told, Chazal tell us, that the sea did not split initially until Nachshon ben Aminadav jumped into the Yam Suf and then said, B'schus Nachshon ben Aminadav, because he was willing to put his life on the line for Klal Yisrael, and therefore the sea split. He went into the water until it was, he could not stand anymore. The water was up to his neck, up to his nose, and now the sea finally split. He had that opportunity now to be that person. And we see that in the final, the year after that, after the sea split for him, he rises to the level of being the Rosh of the Shevet that we see in Naso. He is not only the leader of his Shevet, but the one chosen to give, to represent Shevet Yehuda, to bring the Korban, and he is chosen first because he used his 15 minutes of fame to make a career out of it. And now these 12 supposed rising stars have a chance to move to the forefront. The problem is when they come back and they give their report, which is obviously not what they wanted to see. These were pretenders. They weren't not real Nasiim. They were given their opportunity. The trouble is they had too much confidence in themselves. They wanted to show people that are handed a little bit of power. Sometimes they realize, oh, somebody actually cares about what I have to say, and therefore I have to make a report. We see that a lot of reporters try to make the news about themselves, and therefore when the Shvatim come back, when these supposed Nasiim, they had an opportunity to be the new leaders, the next level of leaders, and we see their names mentioned in this week's parsha, and you will never hear their names again, ever again, except for two. Kalev ben Yefune, when they say it, Vayaz Kalev. And Kalev, he didn't just say, I disagree. He was incensed at what they did. And not only that, but once again, he puts his life on the line because Lirgomo Sombo Avonim, they tried to stone him because the people were so upset that they were on the side of the 10 Meraglim. Could you imagine that thing after all that they've been through, all in the ten plagues and the splitting of the sea and Matan Torah, Har Sinai, seeing what they saw, the witnessing all the miracles that they've seen, the mon, the water from a rock, and now they say, Mi bilti yicholes Hashem lahavies o mazel or es Hashem nishbalo em, God can't do it. Is it rational to even think that somebody could come to saying that? It's incredible to even think. But that's what happens when somebody has to make a story out of nothing. Moshe wanted them to bring back and show the fruit, how wonderful it was. And instead, they come back because, unfortunately for them, they realize that now they have a chance. They were called leaders, and the people are looking toward them to be the new leaders. The trouble is, if, as I said last week, it was Acharas HaYom Mechorev, once they go into the land of Israel, then Isias, becomes null and void. They become nobodies anymore because they weren't really Nesiim at this point. They were just people who were chosen. They had the opportunity. Roshei b'nei Yisrael, heim kulam anoshim. They were good people, but they got caught up in their own self-aggrandizement. They thought that they had an opportunity here. They wasted their 15 minutes of fame. And in fact, they had those 40 days. And when they come back, they think they're going to carry the day and march around and keep it going for as long as possible now that they've risen to the top. But we see one thing over here that is very interesting and that goes much further than this. After the whole incident is over, of course, there's a great depression over here. God says to them, Yom Lashana, Tisu Avonoseichem, Arboim Shana. But there's another thing when God says to Moshe, I'll do whatever you ask. In other words, but God said to him, when we say, Vayomer Hashem Solachti Kid Vorecha, that is a mistake, according to some Mefarshim, that this was a great mistake. In other words, Solachti Kid Vorecha, you could have asked me for more, but you know what? You asked me for this much to keep them alive, and I will. I will do exactly Kid Vorecha, the way you asked. It's like when Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was criticized for not asking for more by Churban Bayis Sheni. The same thing applies there. Moshe Rabbeinu perhaps could have asked for a little more, but God said, oh, is that what you're asking for? Vayomer Hashem solachti kidvorecha. And therefore, these 10 people had to perish at this point in time. But what always bothered me over here is we know that in a couple of weeks when we read Parshas Chukas, it is very interesting that Moshe, God says, Yan lo embamtem bi, when Moshe strikes the rock two times instead of Dibartem el Asela, and he goes ahead and makes his own determination to hit the rock. That is a great change in Moshe because, as I said before, what always bothered me personally was how many times in Sefer Devarim and at the end of Bamidbar after Moshe hits the rock, there are three different terminologies that God uses to berate Moshe for his sin by hitting the rock. But Moshe tells Bnei Yisrael in Sefer, in the beginning of Devarim, that Vagambi hisanaf Hashem biglalchem leimor, that the reason I'm not going into Eretz Yisrael was simply because of the Chet HaMeraglim. And of course, the Abarbanel makes a point of saying that the Chet of Moshe was very simply because he put the wrong thoughts into their mind about the not taking a tour. They had to bring back more things. And unfortunately, these weren't people that were really dyed-in-the-wool, really people who had the best interest of Klal Yisrael at heart. But going away from that, God says to Moshe one time, Yan lo emantem bi lahagdi sheni. And then he said, lo emantem bi. And then he says various other terms, asher mi altem bi. And there are three different times in Parshas Korach again. The psukim in the parsha, the words that I use in this week's parsha, when what is each sin that Moshe committed, not so much sin, but Vehem lo yaminu bi, when God says to Moshe, Vehem lo yaminu bi, that was connected when God accuses Moshe, Yan asher lo hemantem bi, you didn't trust me to do what I want. Al asher ma'altem bi, when Moshe hits the rock, that was me'ilah. When you have the mate, something that's a holy object that God imbued with the power to do all these miracles, of course, it was the hand of God doing everything. But the mate was his modus operandi. Moshe had this stick that God gave him to do the makos, to do whatever God told him. God did not tell him to hit the rock. That's me'ilah, to use something that's made for Kodesh, to use it for something that was wrong. But more than that, Moshe gravitates to a point where in this week's parsha, when God metes out his punishment to Klal Yisrael, Yom LaShana, Yom LaShana, and as what I've told you before, Yom LaShana doesn't mean it should say Shana LaYom, as we've mentioned. The reason it says Yom LaShana is just emphasizing the fact that we all get one day a year for God to forgive us for all our sins that we've done during the year, and that is Yom Kippur. If I take away the power of Yom Kippur to forgive you for all your sins every year, imagine accumulating those sins over a 40-year period. You could not last that long. It will bury you, unfortunately. And in next week's parsha, when we get to Korach, Moshe reaches the point where not only does he starts off Korach very nicely, but he enjoins and in thinking that he's out there with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he reaches the point to say, you know what? If you just plain kill them under normal circumstances, it won't send the right message. Let me tell you what would be a good way to punish them. And that is a change in the attitude, because he's not only Korach did his own, did himself in with Dasan Vaviron, they did themselves in. But the reality was Moshe was even suggesting the form of punishment. And when we get to Chukas the week after, at the end of the 40 years, when Moshe hits the rock, not only that, but he steps in and makes a decision that God didn't even tell him to do. He's been God's messenger for so long. And that's why at that point in time, God says, you've crossed the line, because it began with the Meraglim, when you misspoke and gave them the wrong instructions. But when you went ahead and hit the rock on your own, thinking that you knew better than I did, that was the end of you. But the beginning of the whole story is what we have the opportunity. Moshe Rabbeinu made the most of his time. He bided his time till he was 80 years old. God chose him because Moshe lived his life biding his time, hoping that God would use him to send him as the shliach. And he accomplished his mission in life. Aaron accomplished his mission in life. The 12 Nesim in this week's parsha, opportunity not. They had the opportunity. They had their 15 minutes of fame. How do we react? We all have opportunities to step forward. We are asked to do certain things, and sometimes we claim too tired. We can't. We don't have enough time. It's not available to us. Or we watch somebody else step forward. Look at how many organizations that people had the ideas that we have. How many other people have the chesed in their hearts the way Jews do, whether it's Gemilas Chasadim on such a level that we have so many organizations that do so many things. Think about the people who began these organizations. What drove them to start? These are the people that are the leaders. They're willing to step up. They're asked to do something, and they actually do it. They're given the opportunity for the 15 minutes of fame, and they open the door, and lo and behold, we have the opportunity to be Nachshon ben Aminadav, to jump into the sea, and we have the opportunity to close the door as the 10 Meraglim who were miraculous. Suddenly they were cast aside. Their names are mentioned as great new leaders on the block, and yet we never hear from their names again. They're mentioned once in the Chumash and never again. May we all strive to think of new things to do for Klal Yisrael. That is our goal in life, is to help one another. We are a people that live off each other, which is our blessing. You see so many, as I said, the organizations, they're incredible. The chesed organizations that we have that are just unbelievable, whether it's Hatzolah or other things, obviously, that to lending money, to lending brides things, to lending a Sefer Torah, Misaskim, all these things. Can we think of something new to do for our community? That is our challenge. And that is what we're best at. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to see from us, to put our best foot forward and see how best can we benefit our community, our Judaism, our Yiddishkeit, and the world at large at the end result of that. Have a good week. Thank you.
Go ahead. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rabbi Mayevsky.